Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. We're also joined by, what do we want to call it, BYU legend? What do we want to call him?
He's got a huge poster on the stadium.
He's as tall as Lavelle Edwards Stadium, Andrew George, back on CougarCast. Andrew, thank you for joining us once again. Is it weird to see yourself on the side of the stadium?
No, it's pretty nice, actually. I hope they keep it there for a long time to come.
I think until we beat Utah, that's going to be the Utah memory, you know? So.
Exactly. And I think they should keep it there until we beat the University of Utah again.
Well, with how many times they're going to be playing each other, you could be up there for a very long time, potentially.
That's okay with me.
With that... so listen, first thing that we wanted to get into with you is the reason we brought you on is because we wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL draft just took place. And, you know, once again, BYU gets the old offer at the draft. And, you know, two guys drafted in the last 5 years and really... in terms of the recruiting for Bronco Mendenhall, you know, just one guy that he's brought in the last 10 years has gotten drafted in Kyle Van Noy. Now, he certainly developed some guys that have gotten drafted, too. So I don't know how you want to weigh that. But first things first, why do you think it is or is it problematic that there aren't as many draft picks coming out of Brigham Young University?
I don't know that it's necessarily problematic for the program. I don't think it's a good thing. Because I think BYU, look, there's a lot of guys that will go to BYU regardless. A lot of very good players that are going to go to BYU regardless. I think it's changed a little bit in-state with University of Utah going to the Pac-12, just because I think kids think it's cool to go to Utah and play USC and Arizona and, you know, some of those other teams in the Pac-12. I think that probably hurts BYU more than the NFL deal. But I do think it is an issue for some of the top recruits who are kind of on the fence and they look at it. They're like, okay, I want to use this as a springboard to go to the next level. And BYU is not putting guys in the NFL. So why would I go put there? I think those guys that are on the fence, I think that's where it's really impactful.
So why is it that BYU can't get guys into the NFL lately? Do you think we're recruiting the wrong guys? Do you think it's a player development while they're at BYU standpoint?
Yeah, I think first of all, I think number one, there's not good enough talent. I think you've seen it with Ziggy, right? Ziggy was a first-round draft pick. Kyle was a second-round draft pick. And those guys were great players. They made plays all over the field. But two things that those guys have in common is they didn't go on missions, and they weren't significantly older than I was when I came into the draft. I mean, I'm 25 years old, going to turn 26 before that my first season in the NFL starts. So that's a big deal, especially when you're talking about guys in the NFL whose lifespan is only about 3 years.
Yeah.
So they view it sometimes as you're starting to pass your prime, and why are they going to draft you and invest all this money into somebody who's already in their mid-20s? And it's a big difference than drafting someone who's 21 or 22 years old.
That's a great point right there on the missions.
So you just think age, right? NFL teams run away from age.
I do think that's a big issue. I think if you're If you are an absolutely dominant player, like somebody, and it depends on your position too. I mean, drafting a 24, 25-year-old quarterback is a lot different than drafting a 24 or 25-year-old linebacker. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit different. A linebacker or a fullback or a running back, they're taking a lot more hits. Their bodies, I think it's a little bit easier for a quarterback at that age to play longer than somebody playing a much more physical position.
So as a fan, I've noticed that we don't get very many invites to the combine even. And I think age is probably a big factor of that. I've also heard people guess that maybe our coaches aren't as well networked with NFL guys and that might be leading towards a lack of NFL combine invites. Do you give any credence to that, that some of it's politics on who gets invited to the combine and not?
I think that does play into it a little bit. I can definitely see that. I mean, I do think that the coaches at BYU aren't as well networked outside of BYU as a lot of other schools in the country, just because I think for an LDS coach, BYU is kind of a destination stop.
Yeah.
But I think I honestly think the biggest issue is guys aren't good enough. I really think that's the number one issue, and we can make a lot of excuses about it. And I do think the age hurts BYU players, but I also think that there's a perception out there about BYU players by the NFL and about and from NFL scouts that BYU players don't love football, that it's not kind of, you know, number one in their life. I mean, that's up for debate, but I think a lot of times these NFL scouts and GMs think that BYU guys have other things that are a higher priority to them, and so they're not as willing to put the money forward or kind of put their neck on the line for somebody who doesn't love football or need football as much as somebody from another school.
I mean, it's not a hard and fast rule, but isn't that reputation sort of correctly earned?
I think so. I think you're probably right. I don't think in every case it's correctly earned, but there's been guys, and not to say that this doesn't happen at other schools, but there's been guys who have been either drafted or picked up in free agency, and they go to teams, and they play during camp, and they actually quit before they're actually cut. I think that hurts BYU's chances of getting guys into the NFL a lot more than it hurts the perception a lot, because now they're like, all right, well, is this what BYU guys are like? They just come, they don't like it, and so they leave. So I think that has happened several times over the years that I'm aware of.
Yeah, so why would I waste a spot in my camp? Andrew, let's talk about with you particularly. Was that the case with you, this perception of it, you like playing football, but you're not necessarily in love with playing football? What would be your assessment of that?
You're talking about my situation?
Yeah, for you.
No, absolutely not. I didn't want to be cut, and I wanted to keep playing. Maybe it's better for my long-term health, but no way, man. I wanted to keep playing football. I just didn't find the right opportunity.
So why we're on the subject, will you tell our listeners a little bit about how does that process work after your senior year, like with agents, with right after the draft, when you have teams trying to get you to come to their camp? Tell us what you like, didn't like, and kind of a little bit about that experience.
That experience is crazy and really unlike any other. And it's very nerve-wracking. It's very stressful. But it's exciting at the same time. So my experience, I'd heard from several teams leading up to the draft. I'd talked to a few tight end coaches and talked to some scouts. So some saying, you know, if I'm there and things work out, they'd like to get me in the late rounds. I had some saying, you know, probably wouldn't be able to draft me, but if I'm available, they'd like me to come at free agency. So Didn't know if I was going to get drafted heading into the draft that year. And I was a part of a pretty difficult tight end class that particular year. There were, I believe, 14 tight ends taken in that draft, in the 2010 draft. Included in that were Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, Dennis Pitta, Tony Moyaki, Jimmy Graham, Jermaine Gresham.
It's insane.
I don't know if you guys have heard of any of those guys, but they're pretty good football players. But yeah, I mean, pretty deep tight end class. Ed Dixon was in that class. I mean, a lot of guys who are still starters in the NFL or are going to be a starter or have had significant roles. One guy actually in jail. We know who he is. but yeah, I mean, so it was a difficult tight end class. I mean, I think it was the record number of tight ends taken. So I was just hoping to get drafted. So on draft day, the process, it's pretty crazy. I ended up watching a lot of the really most of the draft, and towards the later rounds, I was hoping my name would be called. It wasn't, but kind of in the sixth and seventh round, I started getting calls from teams saying, hey, you know, we're not going to be able to draft you. We want you to come in free agency. And they actually started making free agent offers. As those started coming in, we couldn't accept any until the draft was officially over. But kind of the hard part about that is my agent was really anxious to accept an offer, in large part because what teams will actually do with free agents is they'll offer several guys. And, you know, they'll have a couple of needs at different positions. And so they'll offer like four or five guys, and whoever gets back to them first, that's, you know, they take it. And so so he was anxious, kind of like, you know, we can't wait too long on these. We got to jump on an offer, because what they had seen in the past is if you wait too long, the offers are taken by other people, and now you're kind of left without a very good opportunity.
Jeez. So,
I had two offers, one from Dallas, one from Carolina, and then one from Seattle that came later. We ended up taking the Carolina offer. That was pretty much it. So it all happened pretty quickly. It was pretty stressful trying to decide what we were going to do, but that's the one we ended up choosing.
So does there come a certain point where I think I've heard people kind of talk about where if it's getting down to the last 10 picks, you may not want to get picked because then you can't choose your situation. Is that just something people say, or is that actually true?
I think that's just something people say. Number one, you'll get more money. Number two, you're going to a team who actually wants you. Not to say that teams who are offering you free agent contracts don't necessarily want you, but I mean, like I just explained, they don't just offer one guy; they offer several dudes. And so, I mean, you're not the only one on their radar. So if you're getting drafted, they thought of you higher than some of the other guys
right.
that they offer free agent contracts to. So I think it's better to actually be drafted.
And then to make a final roster, just the last thing on this is what sort of a mountain is it for someone who's undrafted to make a roster?
As an undrafted guy, they don't have any money invested in you. And so I think a lot of times GMs and scouts, guys who they draft, they have to justify keeping them. To some degree. I mean, maybe not into the sixth and seventh round, but they put more money into a sixth and seventh round pick than they do into a free agent. And so I think there's definitely an uphill battle for a free agent because they haven't put that investment in you, and so they're not necessarily trying to justify keeping you. You just have to do something to stand out. And I think it's a lot about finding the right fit, whether it's the system. And the other thing, I think you really need a coach who there's something about you that he really likes, or there's some sort of draw to a particular team. And I don't think I found that. So a lot of times a coach will fight for a guy to keep him around, a free agent guy, for one reason or another. He likes him for some reason, so he's gonna fight to keep that guy. So I think those things are pretty important.
So switching it back then to BYU, I mean, you just said frankly, right, that you think the biggest issue is just that there isn't enough talent coming into the program anymore. And does that have to do with the recruiting style of Bronco? Because we used to have guys getting drafted. Is the way we evaluate football changing, or is the way that we're evaluating recruits or and all that, is that changing the talent level of who we're bringing in?
It's tough to say, and it's tough to pin it on one thing. I mean, I was around there for a couple of years as a coach, and it's not like they're trying to get guys who aren't as talented or aren't as good.
Right.
I mean, they're still trying to get the best talent out there. It's tough to say, and I think the recruiting standards at BYU are just getting tougher, and over the years kind of the spotlight on the honor code. It's not to say that guys didn't follow the honor code before, but it's becoming more and more of an issue and more and more kind of magnified, I think, through social media and other means.
Cell phone pictures.
So it's harder to get guys that can come to BYU who are really good players, who can live the honor code and the academic standards and all those things. And so I think it's just a little smaller recruiting pool.
So if Tom Homo called you tomorrow and said...
Might happen. This might happen.
Said, all right, how do we fix this? How do we get more guys into the NFL? What advice would you... What would you tell him back to that question?
I don't think I have a good answer. So he's not going to hire me, right?
He already did once.
I don't know, man. I think it's a tough subject. I think number one, you have to change the perception by NFL teams and scouts, and I think that's really hard to do. I think we could probably do a better job selling our players, and I think we could do a better job preparing them for the NFL. This isn't a huge deal, but I remember John Beck and even Maxwell talking about it. Especially John, because he didn't operate very much from under center, and the same thing now with Taysom is, that's a big deal for quarterbacks. If you're not under center, taking the snap, having to drop back rather than just operate everything from the shotgun, you're already starting at a disadvantage. So, I know coaches don't want to change their offensive philosophy and all that, but it's just a small example of one way you can better prepare and better develop your players for the NFL.
So maybe if the goal was simply just NFL entrance, right, you could change things so that, the systems fit more the pro style, right? Is that what?
Yeah. And I think it is important for BYU to have more guys drafted. I know I mentioned that it wasn't a huge deal before, but it does have some bearing on recruiting, and it does have some bearing on the perception of BYU. And those things, they all weigh into whether a guy's going to, in his decision to come to BYU. So I do think it's important to get guys drafted and give them a chance at the next level. So for what it's worth.
One more on this, though, is I think the perception amongst fans is that there's going to be a higher preference for a kid. So if we're recruiting and there's two different kids, and there's one who's maybe a little bit more athletically gifted, but his grades aren't as good, and he's not an Eagle Scout or whatever, and then you got another kid and he's a little less athletic, but he's a hard worker and he's a 4.0 student and all that we're likely, but they both want to come to BYU. We're more likely to be interested in the 4.0 kid who's less athletic. Is that fair? Have you felt that perception before, Tosh?
I think the name that comes to mind is Porter Gustin. I think as BYU fans have tried to guess why we didn't recruit him. But yeah, you can answer that question individually on him or as a whole. But do you think there's truth to that? Maybe sometimes BYU cares about things more than the best LDS athletes even.
I think BYU is concerned with finding guys who are going to fit at BYU. and that are going to be able to stay in school, that are going to be able to follow the honor code. I think those are real concerns. So if they find a guy who's more talented, but they have serious concerns about him fitting in with all the standards at BYU, I think you are probably safer going with a guy who may not be as talented, but is going to be a great fit at BYU and be great for the team. I'll give you a great example. Matt Bauman, if you remember, the linebacker who played with me.
Yeah, it's good.
He was a walk-on out of high school, started as a true freshman, earned a scholarship, and he was one of the most productive guys on the defense. He was really smart. He's graduated from Stanford Business School, so he's ultra smart guy. Was never going to have any problems with academics, with the honor code, anything like that. Yeah, he may not have been the most gifted athletically, but as far as production, I would take a guy like that any day, because you know he's gonna make the right decisions on the field. He's going to get the defense on the right sets, and he's going to do everything right off the field. So I think a guy like that, you can't miss.
And I think you got to find the right balance. And I think you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go with the kid that you're going to feel better about, right? I mean, they recently brought in this Charles West, excellent athlete. He may still be at BYU yet, but he's gotten into some trouble. And, you know, we used a scholarship on him and could have gone to somebody else, right? And maybe they're going to get burned by that. He may never play for BYU, right? And so, you know, that's not valuable to you either. So anyway,
yeah, and I think there's certain positions that BYU probably needs to reach a little bit more for guys athletically. I don't think linebacker is necessary. Maybe an outside linebacker, maybe one, but inside linebacker, no. You can find the right guys who not as gifted athletically, but still can be very productive.
What position does BYU need to reach more and get bringing in some athletes?
What? Sorry, what was that, Tosh?
What position do we need to take some more chances on bringing in maybe some athletes on?
Probably a corner, probably a wide receiver, maybe running back, and maybe outside linebacker, and possibly a defensive lineman. And I'm not talking about taking several risks. I'm talking maybe one at each position. But I think a safety, we've shown we got guys who can play. I think at quarterback, absolutely. I think at offensive line, I think at tight end, I think at linebacker. But we found guys who are you know, true 100% BYU fits that can play, and they can be really productive, and they can even get drafted.
All right. Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's an interesting thing that is occurring right now with the program, and you got to take guesses as to why it's going on. So we appreciate your input on this, man, and understand that you've got some big traveling going on. So hope that all goes well.
Yes. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah. Thanks. You always bring it. Thanks.
All right, thanks again to Andrew George for being on the show. Andrew George. By the way, we are probably going to be trying to have more people who used to play football, basketball, maybe former Cosmos on the show, right? You got a connection.
My great-uncle was a former Cosmos.
Maybe we should get your great-uncle on. We should talk to him about the art of Cosmoing. Maybe we start a new podcast called The Art of Cosmo.
No, I'm not feeling it.
Okay. So listen, big takeaway for me is there's a real stigma in the NFL about these BYU guys, not just that they're older or that if they serve their mission, right, they get a little softer, things aren't as important to them, and that hasn't been helped by having undrafted free agents quit before they have an opportunity to make the squad. And maybe they were going to make the squad and it puts a snafu into the planning of the team, and you know, they've been wasting their time focusing on someone else. Or maybe they cut another player at the same position and then a week later you give up. You know, it really messes with stuff. So
I think that was great by him. It The NFL's not going to use a draft pick on somebody that they don't think is all in on football. And that if that perception's there, and there's been some players that have fed into that.
And there's reason for that perception.
That's not great. Also, you know, he kept hitting that we're just not getting the talent to BYU. That's the biggest reason we're not getting guys in the NFL is we're not recruiting the talent that maybe we once
were. But they're getting the talent that they can, right? It's not like they're not getting the best players that they could get.
Agreed. So a couple thoughts. One, George, being a former player, being a former coach, he knows stuff that is awesome. He gives insight that we don't get really anywhere else. The other thing on that, though, is that I think since he knows these guys, that he can't say, I guess, what I want to say, and that I think the only...
Well, or maybe he doesn't feel what you're about to say.
That's true, too. I shouldn't put... But the only way I think that we really change the vibe of BYU recruits, of the NFL, how they look at BYU, we need a drastic change of culture. And as I've said many times, I am not a Bronco hater. I am not calling for him to get changed. But if I'm going to be real, I think the only way we solve in a big way the way recruiting is going and also the way that the NFL and the outside world views our talent is a change. Like, I think a coaching change, and it would have to be somewhat of a splashy change, which is easy to say, hard to pull off. But that's the way that I think we change this tide of getting big-time recruits and having BYU turn into an NFL kind of
factory
preparing grounds again.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird, right? I mean, they used to be able to put people through, and again, I think there's more kids serving missions now than there used to be.
You brought that up before with real stats.
Yeah, and I think the starting lineup in the 1984 Holiday Bowl, so the year they won the national championship, I think, if I remember right, it was 18 of the 22 starters did not serve missions.
Yeah.
And now it's probably flipped.
Yep.
4 of the 22 starters did not serve missions. So it's just a different, you know, culture. And I think anybody that has served a mission, to say it wouldn't change you or make you have more perspective about the value of your life being involved with the football game, certainly those things must occur inside of you, right? And so, you know, it's just there's a certain point in high school, your value and what makes you special is how great you are at football, and then you go out and you serve, and you're going to be in Columbia for 2 years, and the next thing you know, you come back, and your value as a human being was not solely tied anymore to being a good football player. That just changes things. So, but you're saying that it is what it is. Expect more sparse draft picking of Brigham Young University Cougar players as long as Bronco Mendenhall is the coach.
I just think, why would we expect something different?
There's a lot of sample size here. It's 10 years with this guy.
Exactly. And every year as a BYU fan base, people freak out around draft time because, you know, the University of Utah puts a lot more guys into the NFL every year. But it's like, why are we still being surprised by this? Yes, I think it needs to change, but it's the shock that I think is funny. That this is the only way we're going to get a different result is if we're putting in different inputs into this equation.
Let me just say this, though, on the point of no talent. You're an NFL GM, and over the last 5 years of graduates from BYU... Of the last 5 years, what graduates do you sit there and say, yeah, I'd take them on my team? The two that got drafted.
Yeah.
Is there anybody where it felt like just a horrible robbery? How on earth did they not get drafted?
Well,
are you feeling that way about Robertson Daniel, Devin Mahina, Jordan Leslie, Ilani Fua, Paul Lasike, Solomon Kafu, DeAndre Wesley? You feeling that way about Rossopo?
Yeah.
I mean, none of them deserve to get drafted, per se. I'm sure they're all wonderful people, right? I'm not speaking to their character. I'm speaking to them as a football player. as football players, were any of them a draft pick caliber player?
So, I mean, you said last 5 years. Cody Hoffman comes to mind. But, like, even him, if we're, you know...
Well, but you know, we've mentioned this, but you know the big rep around that guy.
Well, this, he's not a practice player.
Yeah, he's a game player. He's not a practice guy.
Yeah, but he's the only one that I look in the last 5 years that's not on an NFL squad that I think, man, he didn't get a fair shake. But I'm pointing at, I just think we have to have some players in there that could have became NFL athletes if maybe things were done a little bit different.
Here's the thing on the Bronco. Is it just, it's just the more time goes on, Tosh, the more it's just feeling like it's time for a change. Do you agree?
It's a tough question. Here's what my...
Okay, let's put it this way. If it would have been 5 years ago, so it's 2010, and Bronco Mendenhall would have left the school to go to another school, that would have been, like, heartbreaking.
Yep.
In 2015, if he decided to take a coaching offer somewhere else, that is not a heartbreaking proposition.
It saddens me a little bit, but to be honest, to say there would be a part of me that would be excited. And that excitement doesn't come from me wanting Bronco to leave. I like Bronco. I think he's a great coach. That excitement, though, I feel like the program's becoming a little stale. And that I just think a change, almost for change's sake, although risky, it might be in order. Here's my dream scenario. And I don't know if I'm on record on this because I don't know if I've thought this for a long time, but I think that my dream scenario is Bronco takes over the defense like he has. He goes all out. We have an awesome next 2 years. And then he's just, you know, all in for the next 2 years and then walks into the sunset in a blaze of glory. And we give the reins to someone else that's going to give a new spark.
Nick Howe.
And bring... No. Someone with a new spark, not the same old spark, that's going to give...
Colt.
Yeah, just a new insight. Because
he's a little Bronco.
BYU needs a splashy hire in 2 years.
Here's the thing. Splashy hire is basically an impossibility. The closest to a splashy hire that BYU can get is what they did by getting Quincy Lewis to become the new assistant coach for the basketball team.
Here's what's going to happen, Keith.
That's as splashy as it gets at BYU in terms of hiring a coach, don't you think?
We're going to hire a splashy coach, Andy Reid, in 2 years, and then Tom Homo, Kevin Garnett's it into the mic and yells, "Nothing is impossible!" I do agree with you.
I think it's anything is possible, isn't it?
You're probably right. Yeah. I probably butchered that. But I think that the way that it could happen, there are exceedingly rich Mormons out there. We've got to approach some and find some that will pay buku bucks, that will pay Jim Harbaugh money for us to bring in. Andy Reid's not going to happen. Maybe I shouldn't say not, but there are.
It's not.
There are other splashy hires that we throw more money at some of these guys than they're making in the NFL even. So here's my list of splashy hires. We didn't even plan on talking this.
That's fine.
So we've got Reed. We've got, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Daryl Bevel.
We've got the old, this guy's starting to get old, but the old
Robbie
Ravens.
Robbie Bosco.
The Ravens coach.
Not happening.
Too old?
Also, I do not think that they'd let him run the team.
Okay. On the same note,
I mean, without intense knowledge, what I've heard about Brian Billick
is
that no.
Here's the other one. We have Leach go through like a year prep program. We pay him
right
for this head coach at BYU prep program.
Here's the thing, though, right? Like, you know, everyone, I like Mike Leach.
I love Mike.
So I know Mike Leach.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want to be that guy.
You're dropping names.
But toot, I know him.
Okay.
I actually know his brother better. But the point is On that, by the way, congratulations, BYU Rugby, four national championships.
Because Mike Leach paid for them?
Five out of seven. So congratulations, BYU Rugby. That's, by the way, the first dynasty. That's the first. The school's only been around since 1875, and finally we have a dynasty. There it is. But back to this. Are we sure that we... I mean, everyone's all in on the Mike Leach train, but are we sure that he'd be doing any better? I mean, he's at Washington State. He's trying to build that from nothing.
We have a better recruiting base than Washington State. Okay. I don't know if he's the right hire. He's splashy. He fits... I was listing
splashy.
That are splashy, and he's splashy.
And impossible, but yes, okay. I'm just telling you, he's not going through 1 year rehab to be a BYU coach. It's not happening. This guy loves going to Key West and rollerblading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like him, but I think he would just need some language rehab.
It would be so fun, though.
Yeah.
Man, it would be fun. He'd be more fun than Bronco.
And he would steal the University of Utah's pirate theme. That would really get under their, get under their skin. Two pirate fan bases in the same state.
So here's the thing, though. This is the thought that I had, and I had just mentioned this. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but if you're a new listener, this might be new for you. But in short, it's this. You know, Bronco got rid of Nick Howell. He's back to being both defensive coordinator and head coach. That's two of the three biggest jobs within the program. It's really difficult to be excellent at two jobs at the same time. I don't know if you heard about this, but if you work two jobs at the same time, that's hard.
Yet he's done good at it before.
He's done good at it before.
He's done well, would be the right English, but yes.
He's been very good. He's had some good seasons.
Yes.
What that literally means, though, is that on game day, Bronco Mendenhall, and through the game week, right, he has to be better than the opposing team's head coach and the opposing team's offensive coordinator. One man has to beat two. Bronco has done that an amazing amount of times. However, people get upset that he doesn't beat any good teams. Might I suggest that, first of all, good teams are good. They're hard to beat because they're good. That's number one. But number two... part of why that team is good is they have good coaching. And as hardworking and as smart as Bronco Mendenhall is at football, he cannot be better than the two men on the other sideline. And he certainly can't do it 12 times in a row as an independent with an independent schedule to go undefeated, to get us into the playoff, and he certainly isn't going to do it. Let's say that happened. He's certainly not going to do it two times against the top three other finest teams in the country, back-to-back weeks. He's not going to be better than the two men on the other sideline 14 times.
Here's my argument why I like him as the D coordinator, and I hear what you're saying, but we still have the same amount of coaches on staff, so he still has some help. But that points to, I think, our problem is that he's
the guy that when he had split responsibilities, he was icing the PAT rather than giving him an opportunity with 40 seconds left to try to get a field goal himself.
Yeah. No, there's been errors. There have been errors. No.
I'm just saying, that guy has to be better and smarter and harder working than two people now. And that's always the case with this guy because, by the way, he's always going to be both defensive coordinator and head coach because I think if I was Tom Holmo, I would not allow the opportunity again to be bringing another defensive coordinator only for us to chase him out of town in a few short games. The worst job in the country. The worst job in the country as a football coach is to be defensive coordinator at BYU underneath Bronco Mendenhall. There is not a worse job in the country.
The worst in the country is offensive coordinator at the U. BYU D coordinator might be second.
At least you get to last an entire year without somebody coming in and recut.
That is true.
Nick Howell got the benefit of six games before he sort of was already, symbolically demoted before Boise State.
Bronco has to be the D coordinator. That is, something about him gets our D players just amped and bought in. And going into a three-point stance and sprinting onto the field. Like, he's got some magic that gets the D to buy in. That when he's the when
it's
he's,
similar to how we say with Taysom, like, he has to run. Like, you can't worry about him getting injured. He has to run.
Exactly.
Same thing with Bronco. He's got to be. He's got to be with the D.
He is not. That is his talent. If he doesn't do that, then he is burying his talents.
And beyond that, you know, yeah, we're not totally sure that he's a great. I mean, right? I mean, we'd say he's a lot stronger as a defensive coordinator and defensive play caller than he is into a game management. Here's where I'm going to use my timeouts guy as the head coach.
His track record is not great, except as a D coordinator. He's a defensive mastermind. And I think even more important than a defensive mastermind, he gets his players to buy in, which I think that's half of the job of a college or any level coach. But there's something about him that's what gives us a shot with having Bronco. It's not – I am drawing to – I think I see the end, though, of the Bronco era. And I hope my goal – and I think that he has said stuff that leads to the – he might not be opposed to this – is that he has an insane next 2 years, gets on his surfboard, and surfs off into the sunset. And we hire a new
– And then when it's winter – he gets to pick up the horse poop in his.
Yep. With his Broncos.
That's his dream. That's that man's dream. Summertime surfing, wintertime shoveling poop.
I don't. Yeah, maybe. But you might be speaking for him there. But I don't think that's inside information.
All right. Well, anyway, so that's just my whole thing. Is like, you know, listen, as an independent. You know, a lot of people get upset about there isn't much to play for after you lose a game, right? Because, and again, we've talked about this, because you're going to try to schedule yourself 6 wins because it's insane not to. If you are putting together the schedule, you schedule 6, right? And so if you do lose a game, there is an edge to the season that makes it less fun. So after they lost to Utah State in the 5th game last year, the season was less fun. Not just because of an injury, not just because you lost to freaking Utah State, but just the way things are formatted now.
Because we knew the end destination.
That's it.
Yeah.
As we know, we're in the Miami Beach Bowl, the New Year's Six thing is out of the question at that point. So this is the whole thing, is I just do not see the maximizing the opportunity that independence gives you. If you've got Bronco Mendenhall taking 2 out of the 3 most important positions for your staff. So that's my thought. I could be wrong on that, but that's.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. By the way, I love it when I'm wrong. I love it.
That's why you're such a happy guy.
That's why I'm a happy guy. That's why my wife, she can deal with me. And anyway. Get in touch with us, CougarCast on Twitter, CougarCast, and CougarCast@gmail.com. Tosh, any final thoughts?
No, I just think this time of year, this is when BYU's building the hype wagon, you know? Like,
Beware of the hype.
And I like to sometimes jump on that wagon, but right now I am cautiously optimistic about next year. But we've got plenty of other shows to talk about why.
It's like Public Enemy, right? Don't believe the hype.
Yep.
There's a song. Anyway, all right. Take care of yourselves and be good to one another and go Cougars. But, you know, hey, but you know where you should believe the hype? BYU Rugby.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!